Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
We're here with Mike Donahue, formerly of 10th Avenue North. Mike, I don't know what the rest of the guys did to make you so mad that you had to leave, but a kid, 100%. I know that it was some mutual with all you guys.
Yeah, it's kind of impossible to convince people of that, because people just have in their heads, if a band breaks up, it's because they just had a huge fight. And it's very much the opposite is true. All the guys wanted to see their children grow up. Lame.
How weird is that?
Yeah, man. It was just like the end of an era, you know? And I actually said to them, hey, I need to take some time off. And they go, actually, I'm glad you said that, because I'm ready to spend my time doing something else. So we all like very amicably are doing new paths. And they actually told me, hey, you can keep doing music as 10th Avenue North. It's not going to hurt our feelings. And I said, man, if you guys are all wanting to quit and do other things, I don't want to keep calling it 10th Ave with all new guys, because that just feels not true. You know, we were 10th Avenue North. So I don't know. Feels good. Feels like we're all cheering each other on. In fact, my guitarist, Jeff, produced the last song on the record. We're all happy for each other.
That's awesome. And I think one of the things that we do is I think we underestimate the power of seasons in our lives. Like, hey, this is good. This is where we need to be. But it's obviously more amplified with someone who's in the public, like you guys, like a band or celebrity or something like that. But I mean, just the seasons that we all go through in life, I think we're sometimes kind of skittish about that.
Oh, 100%. Well, yeah, why wouldn't you keep doing something if you could? That's sort of the thing that we all have to sort of face, that sometimes something doesn't need to be wrong to walk away or walk into a new venture. I've often wondered, when God called Abraham out away from the land that he was living in, I wonder if he ever went, well, there's nothing wrong with the land I'm living in, God. Like, why do I need to go out into the void? I think the strange reality is, if we don't live a life of risk and faith, we end up stagnating, you know?
Yeah. If you stay where you are, then you're never going to get to grow.
Yeah, that's correct.
Speaking of changing seasons, man, you have the new album coming out. Obviously, that's kind of why we're here. But you're selling a house, you're buying a house, you're running around the country. What a crazy, crazy change of seasons for you.
It's a bit nutty. It's a bit nutty, I'm not going to lie. But it's good, man. It's been really cool just getting to be home with my girls this last year. But definitely wild, you know. All I did was just did shows every day, all day. So this is quite a weird new reality. It's weird that I actually have choice in what I want to do right now. Because for so long, I had no choice. It was kind of like, you're in the band, and we got to go play shows, and we got to make money for everybody. And so now to finally get to go, actually, you know, I don't feel like doing that. You know what? I want to be home. It's really weird. I know that sounds strange, but when several people's livelihood depend on you showing up to play a show, it can feel like you don't have a lot of choice in the matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, me as a music consumer, mostly, I really don't get the full picture. But like for me, in a day-to-day job, if I don't do my job, then there's a ripple effect behind me. Other people can't do their jobs. I think one thing that sometimes gets lost in the mix is that's true for you guys as well. Like, just like what you're saying with the other guys in the band.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the most people, they just kind of have it in their head that musicians, especially if they seem successful by your estimation, or have, like, I mean, objectively, 10th Avenue North, comparatively speaking, was very successful. But, you know, when you actually get into the money and the numbers, it can be really surprising just how it all shakes out. We found ourselves, the only way for us to all have a living was just to be constantly on the road. I always joke, we were successful enough to keep going and never successful enough to take a break. And so you're just constantly going, you know. It just kind of came to the point where we went, this isn't sustainable for our futures. Like, I got 4 kids now and 4 daughters. So pray for me.
Ooh, hashtag girl dad.
Yeah. I love it. I joke that there's someone always crying in my house and it's usually me, but I love it. And really, I mean, going solo was my choosing to want to be home with my kids more, and I'll still tour and do shows. You know, what's cool is when we started the band, we always said, we're never going to let this band get in the way of our families. So it's kind of cool that we kind of ended the band when it got to a point where the guys go, this just isn't healthy for my family anymore. So we're going to do something else. We could have kept doing it, and we could have dialed it back way back and like done other things and still kept the band going. But we all kind of felt like, hey, let's just celebrate what it was and let's mourn it together. So we did these 2 farewell shows in Florida in April. When was that? It was a farewell tour that got canceled, postponed, canceled, yeah. Postponed. And then we consolidated it all into 2 shows because everyone now was like going into these other things and no one could do a whole tour. So we went, what are we going to do? Yeah. So we did this weekend in Orlando and it was so special, bro. Just we got our friend rented this hotel suite on the roof of this hotel. And we all sat out there on the balcony and just, we invited everyone who had ever been in the band. Cause before we got signed, we had all these different guys and girls who were in the band in college and right after college. And we were all there cheersing each other, giving speeches, praying over each other. I was really glad that we decided to end it and not just let it sort of fizzle out and fizzle on for years and years and years.
Well, and I think you touched on something there. When you're changing seasons, I think you have to be aware of when it's time to change seasons and not run it until you're burned out. Because I think spiritual burnout is a huge deal, whether it be a job or whatever season that you're moving between. If you ride it until you get so burned out, then I think it becomes a lot more traumatic and it's something that you kind of have to heal more through. I love what you say there. It ended at the right moment. And just moved on to the next thing where you guys can celebrate it. I don't know if I'm saying it exactly how I want to, but yeah, I think there's a healthiness of exiting at the right time. It's been more than once where God's had to kick me in the pants to say, no, this is where I need you to go over here.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like we might have milked it a little bit longer than we should have. You know, you can't really obsess over that. You just have to go, hey, where am I now and what's next, you know?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about how you got started in music. This is a part of the story of yours that I had no idea about. It started all with a car accident way back.
Yeah.
It was in your teens, so that's what, 10, 15 years ago that this happened?
Yes. So it was actually 21 years ago.
I was trying to help you out.
22 years ago. Yeah, my senior high school. I mean, basically, I was on the way to school with my buddy. We caught the edge of the road. We flipped the car 5 times at 50 miles an hour. I got thrown out of the car, broke my back in 2 places, broke my face, ripped my ear off. Apparently, I was emitting what's called by paramedics as the death gurgle. Mm. I flatlined 5 times on the way to the hospital, and I saw Jesus. I was transported to the gates of heaven. And I'm just kidding. I didn't see Jesus. But could you imagine? I would be so rich if I just milked that story. I did flatline 5 times. And what's crazy is I just had never played music. I was laying on my back for several months waiting for my back to heal. And that's the first time I asked for a guitar. And so years later, I would write the song called Worn, where it says, I want to know a song can rise from the ashes of my broken life. That is exactly what happened to me. Getting my life broken is how I got into music. You know, what's funny is when 10th Avenue North first got signed, I didn't really tell that story because I didn't want the music to be about a guy who got in a car accident. I just wanted the music to hit people and help in their relationship with Jesus. And I didn't want my story to kind of overwhelm that narrative, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think what I'm hearing is that you didn't want it to be your shtick.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I just, yeah, I don't want to be a brand. You know what I mean? I want to be a human and a child of God. You know what Charles Spurgeon said about sermons? So this lady comes up to Charles Spurgeon and says, it was such an incredible sermon. And he basically says, I don't want people to walk away from my sermons and say, what an incredible sermon. I want them to walk away from my sermon saying, what an incredible savior. That's kind of how I feel about my music, is I'm not trying to write this music so that people go, oh, that music is amazing. You know, I'm trying to write music that helps people connect with Jesus.
I know this is kind of pulling from left field, but we're huge America's Got Talent fans in the house. My wife has been watching that from season one, and or The Voice, or, you know, a lot of these reality competitions. And
yeah,
one of the things that gets really frustrating with some of those is the talent is potentially not as good, but they get through what almost seems like based on the story. You know, they have the sob story, you know, the montage and all that kind of stuff. And then arguably a worse performance than the other one, whether great performances or not. And the one with the story goes through as opposed to the one who had the performance. And it's kind of frustrating that it's kind of more about the story and the shtick than it is about what's actually happening.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a weird balance there, right? Because, I mean, that's what the Bible is. It's a collection of stories.
Yep.
So story matters. Story is important, right? Like that girl Nightbird, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, the song wouldn't be as good without the story. Like there's times where the story is bigger than the song, and then there's times when the story and the music kind of collide really beautifully and they kind of complement each other. So I guess we're doing that dance, right? It's kind of like, if you're hearing a song and you can't put your own story into it because all you can hear is the other person's story, I don't think that's going to have longevity. But the longevity of a song and the way it speaks to people are those songs that you can kind of insert your own story into that story. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it also kind of sets up, you know, we're all human. So at some point we're all going to get a black eye with whatever. And if that experience is attached to that story and you see something come out about them or the wrong tweet or whatever, it kills that whole thing completely, whether the message of the song is great or points to Jesus, or if it's completely 100% tied to that story, then the rest of it just fades as soon as anything happens.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good segue into this new album. Is it an album or EP? I always get this mixed up. Like, I know I should know this going into these, but...
I mean, album EP. It's just fancy words for how long or short something is. It's an album. It's 11 songs.
So it's coming out soon. And one of the things that I've read about this album so far is just the focus of the life that has gone into it and making a lot of these songs. Can you talk a little bit about what's gone into this album that's coming out?
Oh, yeah. My whole life.
Done. Podcast over.
What's really cool for me with a band, your albums are always, you're having to bounce your story off the other guys in the band, right? Yeah. So a lot of times I would write some songs that are like super personal that wouldn't really work in a band context, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yep.
And maybe that's my own naivety. Maybe that's not true. But this album, it just feels a lot more personal for me. There's a song called Glory I Couldn't See, where I'm naming specific things that I struggled with during the pandemic. I don't know. It's some people feel a real strong need to be very guarded and only, and be curate what people know about them.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been that way. Call it a virtue or call it a fault. I have no problem just telling everybody where I am in my life. You know, we always write 30-ish, 40-ish songs for an album, and then you're trying to pick the what seems to be the best 10. I mean, I wrote at least 100 songs in 2020. I mean, what else was there to do?
Yeah.
And that's not even mentioning all the voice memos I have. I was looking through my voice memos, like song ideas that I've like thrown down. It's actually overwhelming. You go, how do you ever know if this idea is worth sharing with people? But yeah. I'm really excited. And also the thing about this album is I use 4 different producers. So usually you do 1, maybe 2 producers for an album. This was the first time I used a different producer for several different songs. Well, actually, maybe it's 5 producers. Hold on. Micah, Andrew, Jacob, Carter, Jeff, Bryant, six. So six producers.
Wow.
So the scope and breadth of the music to me is really exciting because I feel like it's a lot broader musical palette. It still has like similar paint colors, you know, how Bob Ross will start his paintings and he'll go, these are the colors I'm using in this painting. I think it still has that, but I just feel like the sides, we really were able to sort of, my manager even said, he goes, man, this just has such breadth musically and sonically. So I'm excited for people to take the journey.
So since this is Bob Ross inspired, we have all the happy trees in this album.
And happy little squirrels.
Yes.
The squirrels love a bop, man. They just love a good bop.
And one of the things that I'd also read about this album is just walking through the journey of this last year, which this past 18 months has just been absolutely crazy. I mean, that's kind of a given at this point, but I know you've had a lot of stuff going on, like with John Steingard deconstructing and being a longtime friend of yours. Like, there's just been so much that's happening, you know, like globally and personally with you that has gone into this album. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, who didn't have their whole world shattered this past year? You know what's fascinating is we find ourselves very much in the same circumstance that the disciples were in. I don't think enough people appreciate the fact that the disciples had to completely deconstruct who they thought the Messiah was going to be. Yep. It's why they keep going, wait, aren't we going to go fight the Romans? You know, that's why Peter's pulling out a sword and chopping guys' ears off. wait, we're not going to fight the Romans? Hey, render to Caesar's what is Caesar's. When Jesus says that, people are going, wait, what? Yeah. I thought we were going to kill Caesar. That was the whole point. You're going to liberate Israel from occupation. Like, you've come to overthrow the government. The government will be upon your shoulders. That's what Isaiah said. When Jesus is coming and he's going, no, I'm going to do this totally. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm not going to exert my power. I'm going to submit my power. It was just completely radical deconstruction. And so when people like John are my friends and they go through a season of deconstruction, I just have a really firm belief that my job is not to point out how wrong their belief is, but to get curious about it and go, interesting, tell me more about that. Because ultimately, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. And I have to believe that ultimately, as a friend, it's my curiosity is going to unlock opportunity to express my own opinion. And I think a lot of times we really have a hard time being in relationship with people that we disagree with. We think that in America, especially, if I disagree with you, that means there's something wrong with our relationship. And I'm going, if I disagree with someone, that actually shows that I have a relationship with them, right? Because if everyone in my life completely agrees with me, I'm not in a relationship with anyone. I'm in a relationship with myself.
Yeah.
So disagreement is our opportunity to actually be in relationship. And what I really find curious, okay, Adam and Eve sin, right? Yeah. God comes to them. And he does not say, what did you do? He doesn't say, why did you do that? What does he say? He says, where are you and who told you that? So here you have God in what could have been an interrogation. And instead, he's like a psychotherapist going, where are you guys? And who told you that? What are you believing? And so he's letting them come to the conclusions. I think that's really powerful because we're pretty Western thinking, and in Eastern thinking, the tradition in school even is that a teacher or a rabbi asks a question and the student or the disciple asks a question back. So when you see the disciples constantly going, they're always asking Jesus questions. We wrongly, from a Western perspective, we read that and go, oh, these guys don't get it at all. They're so stupid. No, that was what they were trained and taught to do. They're showing us how the learning system worked back then. And honestly, I think if our churches were less oratory, like less like I'm going to preach to you and you're going to listen and then you're going to go home and try to apply it, and it was more conversational back and forth, I think we would probably make greater strides in making disciples. In fact, I have a buddy I'm actually going to play at his church. They did a big study during COVID when they weren't meeting and said, In the last 5 years you've been going to this church, what's the most meaningful transformation you've had through a service? You know what they all said? They said, oh, when we were having meals. Not one person said this sermon. And so the pastor had to like check his pride. And you know what they did? Now their service, they put long tables and they make really fancy breakfast. And then they do a sermon, but then they like have questions and response times throughout as they sit at tables and talk about it. And that's their Sunday morning now. And it's a big church. It's like thousands of people. But I just love the willingness to redirect and reapproach. I think that's really beautiful.
And I love what my church in particular does. I mean, we still have sermons on Sunday. I mean, we will from here to Kingdom Come. But one of the things that they really push is life groups. Our small groups are get down and connect with people. Because we have this on Sunday, but really where the meat of it is when you connect with other people and you connect with other believers. And someone may not come in the doors of our church, but they'll come to your life group. And they'll come to the small group. And that's really where change happens. And that's where you really get connected to people. And that's where you really get your crew. So, and that's, I think, kind of goes along with what you're saying. That's one of the things that has really changed in my thinking is just needing that connection and needing that relationship with people as opposed to just being part of the church.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, dude, I've loved the conversation. I actually got to jump off and do another one that started 2 minutes ago. But dude, yeah, thank you so much for your time. And I'm just really stoked that New Release today, which whoever changed it from Tuesday to today is a genius. When they changed it to Friday, I'm sure whoever, the head of New Release Tuesday is going, dang it. But you guys have always been so kind to me and given me so much of your attention. And I appreciate it so much.
Well, Mike, just really appreciate you spending the time with us here and going a little bit over here. But like I said, very much appreciate your time.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.